So if there was a situation where, you know, you have to send your staff home because of something that happens to your building or your office, they can simply take their machines home or log in from home and access the data that's in the infrastructure.
Welcome to the Business Behind Your Business, conversations to help your business grow and thrive. Hi, I'm Paul Sweeney, founder of Pretium Solutions, chartered accountants and certified business advisors, hosting the Business Behind Your Business. Welcome back, Luke Icavelli. It's great to have you back on the podcast. We're talking a bit more about the business behind your business. And today we're talking about something that's become, I guess, more common these days, is moving from a desktop or a physical structure to a cloud-based structure. So tell us a bit more about what that actually means.
Thank you very much, Paul. Yeah, it's great to be back. Look, the cloud is a fantastic buzzword that's been circulating in the industry for quite some time. It's probably become very prominent probably in the last sort of 6 to 7 years. It's important to note that cloud technology has actually been around for a very, very long time. A lot of banks adopted it in the early stages. And essentially what it is you know, you can define cloud as the ability to be able to access data from a location and the data stored in another location. It doesn't matter where that location is, that's technically cloud, because essentially you don't have the data locally on your computer. So obviously the cloud evolution in a nutshell is basically moving data from on-premises, either on your computer, on a server, located in an office somewhere, and storing it somewhere else, whether it's a data center, you know, 365, or some sort of, you know, third-party location elsewhere, and you being able to go in, grab that information, and do your work as you need to. That's sort of a high level of what the cloud is all about. And the process to migrate to the cloud can be relatively simple or complex, depending on, you know, your type of business and the applications that you use and how you operate as a business. So oftentimes, you know, it involves sitting down with a client, understanding what their needs and requirements are, what they use in terms of applications, and how we can best plan that migration process with resulting in, you know, less disruption as possible for the operation of the business.
Mm. So there's some obvious advantages there, particularly where you've got multiple employees with multiple devices. Having all the data in a central spot has to make it easier to share that data and have one version of that data.
Absolutely. The having a server or data on premises, it's obviously, you know, you have hardware requirements that need to be maintained and upkept. If you've got individual data stored on individual machines, you've got, you know, multiple points of failure. Oftentimes the data in those locations aren't being backed up. You know, they're just being stored locally. So if the machine dies or gets stolen, you know, that data's gone or missing. But more importantly, it's the upkeep of, you know, on-premise infrastructure and a single point of failure from that perspective. When you move to the cloud, you are often the data is stored in data centers, massive data centers in capital cities, and those data centers have redundancy. So there's redundancy within the data center itself, but there's also data center redundancy, as in if the data center goes down, there's another data center, you know, in another location. So that's why there's often 99.9% guaranteed uptime with data stored in the cloud, because of the investment that's gone into this data center infrastructure. And that applies to Microsoft 365, you know, Google G Suite, and, you know, Amazon Web Services as well. All these major, you know, cloud hosting providers, and they use, you know, a multitude of different data centers. It's important to be mindful of where those data centers are, and when you do subscribe to some of these cloud services, where your data is actually being kept. And that opens up a whole sort of can of worms with regards to privacy and sort of privileged access to where your data is. But, you know, you've got that guaranteed uptime. You're able to then give your staff laptops and devices and say, you know, off you go. Your data can be accessed from anywhere around the world, provided you have an internet connection.
Mm. I'm guessing that it's not just for the big business. You know, the small business with one or two employees could really benefit from this as well. I often come across somebody that can't give me the data necessary for their accounting or their taxation, and the reason is that something has happened to their laptop and they can't retrieve the data. So having that online version of their data accessible from any device, obviously with security protocols in place and access restrictions, has to be an advantage for every kind of business.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, having your data stored on your laptop, as I mentioned before, if a laptop fails or gets stolen or what have you, you know, they're very easy to get into. Even if the laptop's password protected or the device is password protected, there are a lot of tools out there for people that, you know, that hack and cyber criminals to get access to that. Once they've got access to it, they've got access to, you know, probably some of the most important files for your business. So having that off the device and only using the device as a tool to access that information is very important. A lot of these data centers, there's a range of different security protocols in place to be able to protect that data for you. Oftentimes your data is sort of secured and locked down in an individual location for your business, as is the case with Office 365, for example. Your company tenant is your company tenant, and your data that's in that company tenant is exclusively belongs to you. And Microsoft, you know, provide a 99.9% guarantee that their service will be up and running all the time. What's important to also note is that while the data is in the cloud, it's important to be aware of the backing up of that data. Most third-party software vendors that provide a cloud offering do provide backing up of that data. Microsoft is not one of those. They do require, or they do recommend, that clients consider third-party backing up of the data that's in there. Provided you don't delete anything in the cloud, it'll always be there and always be available for you. It's in those situations where someone accidentally deletes an email or accidentally deletes a file. You know, where does that go? Can it be recovered? And what's the processes involved regarding that?
So I think there's an assumption there that you mentioned that because it's in the cloud, it's being backed up.
Correct.
And you mentioned that it's not always the case. And that's a question that everybody should ask when they've got their data up there. So your Microsoft, your 365 solutions, there is a way of backing those up?
Correct. So in fact, and this is, it's actually surfaced probably in the last 6 to 12 months as there's been a major push towards cloud for remote working environments and things like that. The common misconception is that, yes, once the data's in the cloud, it's Microsoft's responsibility or it's Google's responsibility or it's being backed up. That's actually not the case. And in many cases, in a lot of their terms and conditions, it does actually say that we'll keep it there for you, but you're responsible for it to be backed up. And so what's happened as a result of this is there's been a big push from these major cloud vendors to let clients know, hey, we're not backing this up. You need to consider looking at backing up the data that's in there using third-party backup products that are designed specifically for 365 or G Suite or whatever it may be. Now, if you're dealing with a particular software vendor, like an accounting package, for example, that might be in the cloud, that you're paying that vendor directly for, you know, check with that vendor that there is backup. Most of them do have it, but you do have to ask to confirm that it is being backed up and what is the process to recover if you need to recover a document or a file or a database from those applications. So it's just asking some of the right questions at the right times just to be able to put your mind at ease. And so, and if you are being audited by a third party for whatever reason, you can say, well, look, we have our data in these cloud locations and these are our backup policies for all of those different platforms. So just asking those right questions, making sure that you're clear and comfortable about where the data is kept, how it's being backed up, and what the process is to recover if you need to recover.
And that still seems like a lot to manage though for a business owner. Is there help that they can get?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the vast majority of the project work we do these days is cloud migration work. So the basis of it is simply, you know, you need to sit down with the client and first of all understand what are they using. what are they using for their emails, what are they using for their files and data, are there any specific applications that they use to run their business, whether they're mainstream or custom built applications, what type of work do they do, are they doing video files, movie files, photos, do they do CAD or 3D drawings, just understand what those sort of documents and data look like, and then provide a plan for them to say, okay, if you want to move to the cloud or centralize everything, these are the steps that we need to take. Quite often, moving emails into a central location is probably the first, easiest, and simplest step to take. And you can do that relatively quickly and reasonably cost effective, and it frees up the infrastructure, puts the emails in the cloud, and the client can start operating from there. The next step in many cases is the actual data, the physical documents, Word, Excel, whatever that may be, PDFs and the like, and looking at moving those into either SharePoint or some other, you know, Google Apps or whatever application they decide to use. Mm. The big question mark is the third-party applications. If there's a custom-built application that a client has been running their business, which does their accounts, their ERP, whatever it might be, that is not cloud compatible, there's a high probability that they will still need to have some sort of infrastructure locally to store that application. The other issue may be is it's not cost effective for the client to move that application into the cloud. And so we start to look at a hybrid environment where there's some infrastructure in the cloud and there's some infrastructure locally. And how does that look and feel and maintaining that, providing that guidance for them. If the application can be moved to the cloud and the client is prepared to make that jump, then they can move that application to the cloud and totally remove everything on premise. But hybrid environments are still very, very popular. You know, people keep saying, oh, the server world is dead. The server world is not dead. It's still very much alive. And in fact, you know, when you access data that's in the cloud, you're actually accessing it from servers in a data center somewhere. It's just not in your office. So, you know, don't be scared of hybrid environments. They are very, very popular. And again, it is case-by-case scenario. So,
So I think that is that misconception that because it's in the cloud, there's no actual physical location of it. I'm not sure why we think that, but because it's out of our sight, it's not a physical location. So what guarantees can we make sure we've got in place to protect our data?
Well, 100% correct. So the data is not just floating in nowhere. It is actually stored on servers in massive data centers, often within the country that you purchased a particular software for. So I know in the case of Microsoft, for example, when you buy a Microsoft subscription in Australia, it is stored in Australian data centers. A lot of that is in some of the terms and conditions and the clauses that they have in place with the licensing agreements for the cloud vendors. So that is important to be mindful of. And depending on the type of organization you are, if you know, some organizations do have some legal requirements and governance regarding where the data is kept, who has control of it, who has access of it. And flowing on from that is, you know, if there's a breach of that, what's the protocols for that? But it's very important to ensure, you know, what needs to be moved to the cloud and can it be moved to the cloud? What does that look like, the steps that are involved in that, and obviously the costs associated with that. Then understanding, you know, where is that? Is it being backed up? What's my processes involved with regards to retrieving the data, if I need to retrieve it, and how quickly can I get it? There's no point moving to a cloud platform if it takes, you know, 5 days to recover a file that you need straight away if something happens to that file. And then ensuring that the way you access that, you know, security regarding how you access that information, locking it down, ensuring that your access from your location to that data center is secure. It's only you accessing it. You've got control over it. You've got, you know, whatever encryption you might need to be put on there, so that you can very clearly sleep at night knowing that you've got, you know, those steps in place. And obviously with that, there's a whole range of other sort of security and local security measures to protect, you know, people getting into your computer to then access your cloud environment and vice versa.
Great. So there's many aspects to it. So just recapping, what are the key benefits that people can expect to receive from moving from a, say, a physical on-premises environment to the cloud?
Look, probably the main one would be the reliability factor. I mean, we'll take a traditional, 10-user network with a server on house. If the server fails, there's an issue with the server, there's a power outage in the building, there's an internet failure, everyone's ability to access the data from that server is rendered useless. If you have remote staff that are dialing into that server, likewise for them. If the infrastructure is moved into the cloud, there's a 99.9% guarantee that the infrastructure will be up, and in very rare cases does it ever go down. So if there was a situation where you have to send your staff home because of something that happens to your building or your office, they can simply take their machines home or log in from home and access the data that's in the infrastructure. There's also the guarantee that hardware failure in the data center is covered by a level of redundancy as well. And provided the user has an internet connection wherever they are, whether it's home, office, on the road, or wherever, they're able to access their data anywhere from around the world. So there is some very key advantages to that. It also opens up for a lot more collaboration, and businesses are able to expand a bit more. You're able to have some more remote staff or expand into other geographical locations that you may have been hindered before because of infrastructure blockages. It costs a lot of money to purchase a server, to set it up, to maintain it, to keep it running. You're also responsible for the upkeep of that hardware. When the data's in the cloud, you're not responsible for the upkeep of the infrastructure in the data center. That is the vendor's responsibility. And provided that they keep the service running for you, you don't have anything to worry about. On the flip side, there's obviously subscription costs associated with cloud, but they're very minimal in comparison to what sort of savings you get. And quite often, you see many businesses and organizations able to grow and expand quite rapidly because they're now able to access the data quicker from any location, which opens up a lot more opportunities for them to sort of continue to grow and develop as a business.
So it seems like this moving to the cloud is a great asset or advantageous step for a lot of small and medium-sized businesses that they can capitalize on to actually expand into new markets or even be more efficient at what they do without having the hassle of what goes wrong physically to their data. So
absolutely. And, for many startups, the cost of getting an infrastructure put in place can be reasonably expensive, whereas, very quickly they can set up data in the cloud, emails in the cloud, a couple of applications in the cloud, and they can fully function from there. The other point to note also is that if you do require servers, those servers, even though you do need them, don't have to be on premises. You can spin up cloud servers, which are your own servers still in the cloud, off your location, but in the cloud, to run your applications. So you could have a business that might have, 20, a requirement for 20 servers running different applications, and none of those servers need to be in your office. So it's really that notion of the data and the infrastructure doesn't have to be in your office at your premises. They can be stored in a range of different locations elsewhere, whether it's fully cloud or hybrid, spinning up virtual servers. There's a whole range of different solutions that fit different business requirements.
That's great. So it seems to be the thing that most business owners should consider if they're not already doing.
Yep.
And there's certainly some huge advantages to be gained. So, that's great to find out more about what that actually involves, moving your data from an on-site to a cloud system.
Yep.
So, some great knowledge you've shared with us today, Luke.
Fantastic.
And, we look forward to having you back because there's plenty of... IT is such a broad area. There are plenty of things that we can talk about that will help small and medium businesses. And we've only just seemed to have scratched the surface of what we can talk about. So thanks again for your time. And we're looking forward to having you back again to talk more about IT and how it can help you grow a thriving business.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Paul.
Thanks for listening. Do you have a question you'd like our team of experts to answer? If you do, send your question to podcast@thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com. To hear more from The Business Behind Your Business, don't forget to subscribe using your favourite podcast player. Or you can visit the businessbehindyourbusiness.com website.